Welcome one, welcome all. This is the Next Step Radio Show on the Antimatter Zone Radio Network. Thank you for joining us today. This is going to be a quick mini update. If this is episode number 24, we're going to talk a little bit again today about the No State Project and tactics, strategies, ideas, implementations of this. If you haven't heard episode 23, I'll go ahead and push pause now and check that out. Give a pretty good introduction. If you did hear episode 23, then you're really going to enjoy today's show. Like I said, a little quick update here. Paranoid from Ghost of the Republic Radio had an arraignment hearing on a traffic citation and gave me permission to play a little bit of that court date. So you can hear how acting sovereign, taking a stance, asking questions can lead to favorable outcomes. Now, this wasn't the alpha and omega of this situation. Like I said, this is just the arraignment of the traffic citation charges. But I want you to listen close, because a lot of sovereign citizens, people who are aware of the fiat nature of a lot of government operations, go into court demanding, clarifying, making statements, making a case. There's a subtle difference here. Paranoid from Ghost of the Republic Radio isn't going in there with this. Now he has a set of beliefs and a stance he's going to take, but he does that by making them prove their legitimacy. He's the sovereign individual in the room. The city municipality is moving against him in an action. And according to their own crazy rules, they have to prove every single bit of every single thing they say beyond a reasonable doubt. And all he's trying to do is set the groundwork for that, because that's the whole point of the sovereign citizen. If you're going to come against me, you have to prove that you have jurisdiction. You have to prove that there's an injured party. And that's a slight distinction a lot of people get confused on real quick. because they automatically assume the city has the right to make action against a defendant in a proceeding. Under common law, under the Constitution, there has to be an injured party. So the plaintiff would be the victim of a crime, and the defendant would be the one who is accused of the crime. Well, they flipped the script on that, and when they went to these corporate chartered statuses instead of actual states of, by, and for the people, where if you would have an assault in a court proceeding, you would have the injured party would be the plaintiff, and then the accused person of the assault would be the defendant. Same with murder, same with rape, same with burglary. All of that is criminal activity. Now, when they post a camera on a pole that automatically detects, quote-unquote, your speed to whatever accuracy, takes a photo, and then now you owe some jurisdiction, you know, $80 or $100, there's no injured party. There's no criminal activity. So if they want to claim through their policy now that you owe them $80, they have to prove their jurisdiction. They have to prove they're the injured party. They have to prove every single bit of this whole thing, because what they've done, instead of an injured party, they're claiming the people or the city can now move against you. Okay, maybe. But the burden of proof is now upon them. So listen close as we go through this audio. Paranoid from Ghosts of the Republic is not making outrageous statements. He's asking question after question after question, because this is just the arraignment, it's not the trial. He's laying the groundwork for not his defense, the burden of proof being upon them. They have to prove jurisdiction. They have to prove what he did was a crime. They have to prove there's no conflict of interest, because, and he'll make this point in the audio, but think about it. If you assault somebody on the street, that person can file charges, and the city will represent them in the proceedings, but the actual injured party is the plaintiff. In a traffic violation, some arbitrary numbers assigned to some radar gun, there's no injured party. So now you have the city of blank, or the state of blank, or the county of blank, moving against a defendant in a proceeding. So they're claiming that they're the injured party, but then the prosecutor isn't representing a plaintiff. The prosecutor is then representing the city of, and the judge is now representing the city of. So you have, in essence, the person bringing the charges and the person hearing the case are now both paid by the same people. And forget the fact that it's a city. Let's say it's, you know, any other corporation. If you went to Walmart court and you had a Walmart prosecutor and a Walmart judge deciding on whether or not you were speeding in Walmart's parking lot, what kind of fair hearing do you think you would get? Correct, you wouldn't. Extrapolate that idea now into a lot of these erroneous code violations, because they're not criminal activity. Nobody's been injured. So I'll stop ranting. These are real sleights of hand, and that's how they've been able to get away with it for so long. But listen to how he conducts himself, asks questions, keeps them on focus, doesn't let the backpedaling and stammering and stuttering distract him. He's there to assert his sovereignty and make them prove they have jurisdiction, make them prove that there was even a crime committed, make them prove that there's no conflict of interest, because all of this is brought by them against a sovereign individual free on the land. And you don't vote for anything here. You enable and empower yourself through your rights simply by exercising them. You can exercise your expression, your religion, your self-defense. You know, it doesn't have to be automatic weapons, you can defend yourself with your mind. So the full empowerment of the individual lies within the rights bestowed upon us by our Creator. And those rights have nothing to do with any words written on paper. They come by and through and during your ability to exercise them. Speak your mind. Praise your Creator. Assemble. Gather with like minds. Learn how to defend yourself. See, all of these things are inherent in your innate and sentient part of the humanity in you. Exercise, or somebody else will. Without any further ado, this is a little bit of Paranoid's arraignment hearing, and then a little bit of his. They played this on the Ghost of the Republic last broadcast. I'll provide the link to the whole show if you'd like to hear it. But the court proceeding, we gave the introduction in episode 23. Yeah, again, if you haven't heard that, go back and listen to it before or after this. But I wanted to play this as an example of how a sovereign individual can proceed against unsovereignty, fiat fakery, without looking like a clown. And once you hear this, this guy's on the right track. It should be pretty obvious. Again, I want to thank Paranoid from Ghost of the Republic Radio. My website, 3Ws, infowarts.com. That's infowarts.com. You can email me, thenextstepradioshow@charter.net. That is thenextstepradioshow@charter.net. I'm going to get to this audio from the arraignment. Listen close. Listen to it a couple times. Empower yourself. Right before we get to it, we'll have a little spoken word gratitude by our friend Talal Macy. Get you in the right mindset. Thank you for joining us. See you at episode number 25.
Maybe having too much pride is bad, but you should at least have some. And it can't be healthy to look at oneself in the mirror and not recognize your own image. It's got to be limits to compromise, and ain't nothing wise about worshiping mammon. I'd rather risk poverty and famine than not know that the ground on which I'm standing is clear. And God and fear can't occupy the same space, and the thorough don't compromise their principles for fame's sake. This game is played about more than the checks you collect, because no matter how much you get, you're still going to have to subtract any loss of self-respect. And me ain't just me. I'm the self I always was. And whatever being my real self does is all I need to have. The overexposed divide more than they add. And the ones who gross the most tend to net nothing but laughs. Walking paths, mud and fire and brimstone. Hide by snakes that take more than their fair share. There ain't no one in VIP who could re-bestow your soul. Ain't no head, ain't no blow, ain't no coming to blows that can help you get it back once you decide to relinquish your control. How you gonna depend on the heartless to be open-hearted? If he destroys lives for a living, he ain't giving you nothing but a hard way to go. You better move like you know. This world ain't got no special sympathy for fools, and the price of being an idiot is becoming the next man's tool. You living in diamond and platinum times. You think trying to stay in line with your golden rule. There's only responsibilities and resources and inner peace and outside forces and three eyes and inside voices, and the choices you make determine whether you're living in heaven or hell. And the definition of a sellout is somebody who ain't figured out what not to sell. See, you can't live off pride alone, but being dehumanized ain't living, and the demoralized are unforgiven. It's better to be broke with some options than some sadistic rich person's victim. And long before them boys said stick 'em, everybody been trying to live fat, but they want to rock diamonds in the club sipping Ace of Spades. But when you strong hearted, you ain't got to worry about that. Have some pride.
Please stand. In this full court for the city of Fort Collins, Colorado, is now in session. M. Lane presiding.
A respect for the system. All right, do you want to go and step up to the podium there? For the record, it is November 8th of 2010. Are you
Paranoid Patriot from Ghost of the Republic?
I'm called back, yes.
All right, so you are here for arraignment on case number, or summons number P000-6126. This is a camera radar red light summons and complaint. And the court had to review the written advisement form on this charge. This is from July 14th of 2010. This is the date of violation listed on the summons. charge of Section 1101, Subsection 1 of the City Traffic Code, and speeding 40 miles an hour in a 30-mile-an-hour zone, 10 miles over the posted limit is the specific charge. Zero-point defense because of the state law that relates to the camera radar red light type enforcement. So the clerk had to review the advisement form with that zero-point speeding charge checked. And it looks like you reviewed that, indicated that you had questions that you wanted to ask with regard to the writing options. So go ahead with your question.
Actually, I have questions pertaining to the nature of the policy proceeding.
Okay, go ahead.
I would prefer to speak with the district attorney, but if I could just ask you my questions, is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay. First of all, am I entitled to a fair and meaningful hearing?
Yes.
Am I entitled to be informed of the nature and cause of the charges against me?
You are, and you have been in this written advisement form here.
Okay, am I entitled to responsive answers to any questions I might have about the charges?
Certainly. Well, let me back up a moment and say that the district attorney who you referenced does not handle municipal court cases.
Okay.
In municipal court, the prosecutors from the city attorney's office and referred to as a municipal court prosecutor or assistant city attorney.
So it's the city attorney then?
City attorney's office provides the prosecution, yes.
Okay. And is the burden of proof on the city attorney during these proceedings?
On the city, yes.
Okay. Is this court bound by Supreme Court rulings?
Certainly.
Okay. And is it bound by the constitutions of Colorado and the United States?
Certainly.
Okay. What rules, if any, govern these proceedings?
There are the Colorado Municipal Court Rules of Procedure that are adopted by the Colorado Supreme Court. There are also some procedural issues addressed in state statutes.
Okay, and you have to comply with all of these rules?
Certainly.
Okay.
There are also some provisions within the city code itself with regard to that apply to traffic infractions specifically, as well as camera radar cases.
And you said that this court is consistent with the Constitution and Supreme Court rulings. Is the ticket that I was issued consistent with the Constitution and Supreme Court rulings?
Well, you could certainly make an argument that it's not.
Well, I'm not making an argument. I'm just asking a question.
Well, that would be an argument that the city would need to respond to, the prosecution.
That's kind of why I wanted
whether
to
it's about
the prosecutor, actually.
So if there's some kind of motion you want to file, then the prosecution would need to be here to...
Well, I might move to dismiss, but I have a couple more questions I'd like to get answered, if that's okay. Is there an allegation of injury with this particular citation?
Injury to an individual?
An allegation of injury at all.
I would have to have the prosecution respond to that question.
Okay.
All I have is the face of the ticket itself, charging a speeding violation, no indication that there's any kind of accident.
And how does a plaintiff acquire standing in this court?
The city filed a summons and complaint. One of the officers, in this case, the ticket indicates it's Officer Dennis Holberg, who signed it, badge number FCC 140.
Okay, now will I be allowed to cross-examine that officer if it does come to a proceeding?
If you plead not guilty and the case is set for trial, the city would certainly have the officer here to testify, yes, and you would have the opportunity to cross-examine. It does indicate that on the right, on that written advisement form that you reviewed. And number 5 says a trial to testify or not to present evidence and cross-examine witnesses in the city.
Okay. I apologize. Most of these questions that I came up with were actually geared towards the district attorney or the prosecuting attorney. And you said he has the burden of proof in this. Does he have the burden of proof on every element of this crime?
The city has the burden of proof, yes.
Okay.
Regarding the charge itself and all the elements.
And going into this, am I presumed innocent of the crime?
Certainly.
And am I presumed innocent of every element of the crime?
Certainly.
And is not jurisdiction an element of the crime?
Certainly.
So am I presumed innocent of jurisdiction then?
The city would allege, as they have in the summons and complaint, and have to prove that the incident happened within the city of Fort Collins.
I'm not really a lawyer. I don't really understand most of this. I just need a yes or no. Am I presumed innocent of jurisdiction at this time?
Well, that's an unusual way to form prejudice. That's why I'm struggling. But that is an element of defense that the city has to prove.
And so I am presumed innocent of jurisdiction.
You are presumed innocent of the charge itself.
So I'm not presumed innocent of all the elements of crime. I just need to understand this before I go forward.
Yeah, and it's such an unusual question. I'm not sure how to answer it any differently than I already have.
Just with a yes or no.
Well, I've already said you are presumed innocent of the charge. One of the elements of the charge is that it happened within the city of Fort Collins. So you're presumed innocent of the charge and all the elements thereof.
Okay, so if I'm presumed innocent of jurisdiction, does this court have the ability to proceed against me?
Yes, because the allegation is that it happened within the city of Fort Collins, and so it's appropriate to go ahead and proceed with the summons and complaint presented as it has been.
And who has to prove that I'm within the city of Fort Collins?
The city is prosecution, which needs to find that evidence.
And do they have any facts on record to prove that I'm, even right now, within the city limits of Fort Collins?
Do they have any facts on record to prove that you're in the city of Fort Collins? The prosecution would have to respond to that type of question.
So also need some questions. Actually,
you're getting into the charge itself. If you want to ask that the arraignment date be postponed for 2 weeks so you have time to file a written motion and the city can respond, and then we determine whether that motion is granted or not, and if not, if the motion to dismiss is denied, then it would be set for trial, and then you can have a trial on the charge itself if you choose.
Okay. You already said that I am entitled to a fair and meaningful hearing, right?
Yes.
Okay. Could I get a fair and meaningful hearing if there was a conflict of interest?
I would assume you would argue no.
No, I'm asking you what the answer is. I'm not going to argue about it.
Well, what kind of conflict of interest are you talking about?
Well, if you represented a party to the proceedings, would that be a conflict of interest?
Certainly, I would not do that. And if there were any conflict that I had, I would recuse myself.
Okay, you would recuse yourself. So you wouldn't seek to enforce any judgment against me if there was found to be a conflict of interest?
If there was I'm not sure what you mean.
If there was a conflict of interest,
we would deal with the conflict. Okay. Remove the conflict before the case ever went to trial.
Okay.
If you go to trial and you're found guilty, then the court would enforce the judgment.
All right.
Collect the judgment.
And who do you represent in these proceedings?
I am hired by the city of Fort Collins as the municipal judge.
Okay, and who's the plaintiff in these proceedings?
It is the city of Fort Collins. It's stated as... let me see how they specifically has it worded. It's a charge, again, defendant, they allege it's a charge committed against the people of the city of Fort Collins. At the top, it's in Fort Collins Municipal Court, in and for the city of Fort Collins. So it's city attorney's office representing the city of Fort Collins in general.
So you're being paid by the city, and the plaintiff is the city. And that's... Is that not a conflict of interest?
Not a conflict of interest. In the county and district court systems, you're going to find a similar situation. It's the taxpayers that are paying the judge, as well as the taxpayers paying the prosecution, which is public official.
So you're saying on the record, the fact that you're getting paid by the plaintiff is not a conflict of interest?
I am saying that.
Okay. Is this being recorded at all?
Yes.
And will I be, is there ability for me to get a transcript or audio recording or something of this whole proceeding?
You can do that. You are recording.
Yes, I am.
Okay. And you said that it does have to stay consistent with Supreme Court rulings. The Supreme Court rules that in order for a plaintiff to have standing to complain against somebody, they have to prove or plead an injury personal to themselves. And I'm not seeing any injury, and you stated that you're not aware of any injury being pled here.
And what I said is that the prosecution would have to address that. I'm going to stop you at this point because I think this really, a lot of what you're getting at is more appropriate than a motion to dismiss, and I'm going to ask that you do that in writing.
Can I just
so that
orally
the prosecution
dismiss?
Prosecutors are involved with drug conferences right now, so they're not available, and they would need time to review the case. So typically a motion to dismiss dismissed like this. I would ask that it be in writing, so I'm going to ask that in this case.
Okay.
And I'll ask that the bailiff have the clerk go ahead and postpone the arraignment for 2 weeks. Give you time if you want to file a written motion to dismiss.
Okay.
Prosecutor will respond, and then I'll rule on it.
And when if I just put in a motion to dismiss, do I give it to you and to the prosecutor, or just to the prosecutor?
You would file it with the court and give a copy to the prosecutor, and the copy filed with the court should indicate that you have given a copy to the other side, which excuses the prosecution.
All right, and if I do make that motion to dismiss, does the prosecutor have to address each issue that I bring up in the motion in order for you to deny it, or I don't really understand all that?
Sometimes they will address each individual item. Sometimes they will give a general response. Sometimes if they feel that all of the items really relate to the factual issues that are to be determined at trial, they'll just indicate that and ask that the motion be denied. It depends. That will be up to the prosecution as to how they respond to the motion.
Okay. And just one more last time, just so I'm 100% sure about this. You're saying that you are paid by the plaintiff, but that is not a conflict of interest.
And I've already answered that question.
Can I just give you yes or no?
I'll have you go with the bailiff at this point.
Okay.
This is my main point of wanting to bring that to you guys. We don't have to live in fear of these people. We don't have to be afraid of what they're going to do to us next, or what they're going to do to the economy, or what they're going to, because these people are cowards. They use brainwashing lies and manipulation to keep us in control because they're cowards. And there's no reason why we should be afraid of cowards. And there's no reason that we shouldn't be standing up to these people, and that's what I'm doing. I'm standing up to these people every chance I get, and I'll spend my own money, I'll put my own ass on the line to go out there and stand up to them and show you guys how easy it is to stand up to these people, to take the curtain back and expose that there is no wizard, it's just a little frail man with a microphone. I'm willing to go out there and show how easy it is so that hopefully other people will go out there and do the same thing. And I'm just telling you, when you walk out of court and you've got a judge or a district attorney or a police officer choking on their own words and exposing how much of a coward they really are, when you walk out of a court after that, no matter what happens, no matter whether it gets continued or dismissed, you still feel like you're on top of the world, because the system that you've been told your entire life has the right to hold you down under their boot, and when you get out from underneath it and expose them for the cowardice little pieces of crap that they are, it's the most empowering thing that there is out there that I've found. So I just want to share what I'm going through and hope that it inspires other people to not bend over and hand over their money, which is what most of the people were there doing that day, was just going in, pleading guilty, handing over a shit ton of money to the city. I'm hoping that people won't do that, and if people start realizing how easy it is to stand up to these people and how empowering it is afterwards, if we all started doing this in mass, they wouldn't be able to continue their plans, because their whole system would fall apart, because it's all based off of 1,000 people saying the emperor has clothes and a couple of us saying the emperor has no clothes. And then me and a few other people running around saying, why the fuck are all you people calling this naked man emperor?